I'm John, he's Patrick. Together we're the functional nerds. I'm John, he's Patrick. Together we're the functional nerds. Together we're the functional nerds.
My name is Patrick Hester. His name is John Anelio, and you're listening to The Functional Nerds. This is going to be episode number 241.
That is Patrick Hester. He's an author, a blogger, and a podcast dude. You can check out his website, atfmb.com, and follow him on Twitter, at atfmb. I should also mention that Patrick is a Hugo Award-winning podcaster for the SF Signal podcast. I should not let that slip either.
Nor you don't get your cookie.
I don't, and it's not even Saturday yet. My name is John Anelio. I'm a musician and a podcaster, and you can check out my website over at johnanelio.com. You can follow me on Twitter at John Anelio. And today, we're a little bit different setup today than we normally do, because we do have a guest today, but we actually did the interview separately, and now we're kind of doing our intro after the fact, because we did have a little bit of a limited time with him, and that guest is Chris Brogan, who you will learn all about him in a few minutes. But he is in in the marketing world, but he's an author, and a lot of his books sort of reference some nerd things, and he's a big nerd. You'll find out. I think Patrick was even kind of surprised to like.
Not really. So should we tell the story of how this all happened in the first place?
Yeah, might as well. That seems like a good place.
So we go to conventions, but there are also conferences, and there's all sorts of different kinds of conferences. And in this case, at work, we found that there was one coming to Denver called the Denver Digital Summit. And I am a digital marketing specialist. That's what I do in the daytime. And, of course, I'm Batman at night. Mm-hmm. But my coworker and I signed up for it and went, because one of the reasons why was Chris Brogan was one of the keynotes there. And we were really excited to be able to see him in person. And you know me, John, and you know that I live tweet stuff. And it's not always good stuff. I mean, sometimes it's just, you know, rampant episodes of Ancient Aliens where I point out the fact that Giorgio looks a lot like a Centauri from Babylon 5. Anyway, I started live tweeting at this dang thing, and it was just because in some of the rooms I was bored, and I was annoyed with their crappy Wi-Fi the first day and all this other stuff. But anyway, when I got to Chris Brogan, I started live tweeting because he was hilarious and he was just so engaging, and I was really enjoying his keynote. And one of the things that he kept doing was saying, in a world where this and this, and in a world where this and this, and in a world where this and this. And I'm going, oh my God, I just want him to use the movie voice. So I tweeted that. And like a couple hours later, either you or he, I forget who did it first, but it was either he tweeted and said, oh my God, that's hilarious, I wish I'd thought of that, or something like that. And then you're going, hey, you know, if Chris is there, Patrick, I've been on his podcast, you should get him on our podcast. And so we did. We just made that happen, and it was cool.
Yeah, definitely. And it's a little bit of a different guest for us, but you know, he nerds pretty hard. So
he does. But I think he's got a lot to say that authors, the modern author, needs to hear.
I agree, and one of the things we get into later with him is that I got to know him because I read a couple of his books, and a lot of the way that I went about doing my music online, and honestly, even doing this podcast in a roundabout way is influenced by a lot of the stuff that I read in his books, like of just like being a human being and not being by my book, but actually being a human. And you know, he really practices what he preaches, and he's got a lot to offer people. So, well, you know, we actually did picks already with him, so why don't we get right on to the interview with Chris Brogan? And tonight we have with us Chris Brogan. Chris Brogan explores how people use content and community to build marketplaces around areas of belonging. He is CEO of Owner Media Group, a sought-after public speaker, and the New York Times bestselling author of 8 books and working on his 9th, Belong, a Framework for Embracing Community, Driving the Economy, and Building the Future. You can learn more about Chris at his website, chrisbrogan.com. Chris, thanks for joining us tonight.
So happy to be part of this, guys. This is going to be fun.
Chris, yeah. I'm taking notes tonight in my Digital Summit notebook, so it is good for something.
Ah, there you go. That notebook and the t-shirt were really good swag.
I didn't get the t-shirt.
Oh, I bought it. It seemed nice.
Ah, okay.
Very soft.
Now, was that convention in Denver?
Yes, it was.
Cool. Yeah. So Chris and I have been in contact on the internet for a couple of years now. And when I saw Patrick tweeting about it, I'm like, hey, we should get Chris on the podcast. So we're glad to have Chris on tonight.
I, John, I can't sit there and with Chris up on stage and he kept saying in a world, in a world, in a world. And I'm wanting him to go in a world and use the movie voice.
Don't get me wrong. I wanted to the whole time. One man, I had the whole thing ready to go, but they didn't want
that. No, it would have been great. You could have used that with the coffee shop thing that you were talking about, the great customer service, but the shitty coffee.
Right.
Cool. Well, let's get right on to our picks of the week.
Picks of the week.
And I will go first. My pick this week is something that we talked about a few weeks ago with the creator of this show. We had Greg Wiseman on the show a few weeks ago, and he writes for lots of different shows, including Star Wars Rebels, and he wrote for Gargoyles, and he also did Young Justice. And I just finished the first season of Young Justice on Netflix. Just the first season is up there. It was fantastic. I really loved it. It's based on the DC heroes on the sidekick. So you have Robin and Superboy and Aqualad and Miss Marvel. And it was great. I thought it was, just as strong as like a lot of the Avatar and Korra shows in terms of like storytelling and arc. And I loved it. Chris, did you ever catch Young Justice?
I watched the whole first season. I'm just like you. And I loved it. I thought the interplay was great. And it's one of those shows that makes you realize just how depressing Teen Titans Go is.
Yeah, we had Greg on the show a few weeks ago, who's the producer of the show and wrote a lot of the episodes and everything. And there's a lot of love for that show. And I know season two I haven't gotten into yet because it's not on Netflix, but I'm probably going to just go buy it on Amazon or something because I hear that's awesome too, that Patrick keeps telling us. And there's a lot of sad faces that show is only two seasons. So.
Well, and it gets worse because to Chris's point, they took it off and they brought back Teen Titans, but they made it Teen Titans Go.
Yeah, that's a straight up bummer. Chris, what is your pick this week?
I had a whole other pick. I was going to pick Xbox One Destiny, but because you said all that, Amazon just released Marvel Comics for the Kindle. And if you're a Marvel Unlimited person, it's kind of hard to say go for this because the pricing is a lot different. But I can tell you that it's kind of cool for me because my comic reading interests are a little bit more of scattered is the best word to say. So I don't like buying the actual paper copy anymore. So it's kind of cool that I can pick it up off a Kindle now.
That's cool.
Yeah. Now, is that, I'm assuming that would just be for like a Kindle Fire rather than the, like a Kindle Paperwhite or something.
Oh, sorry. I always forget that people think that they actually need the real device. I look at it on my Samsung Galaxy Tab, which is actually a Barnes & Noble Nook because they stopped making that hardware as well. And so I use Kindle app on like all my Mac products and my Samsung Tab and my Android phone or whatever. I never actually use a Kindle device.
Yeah, I got you. Yeah, I actually read on a Paperwhite, but that's the one downside of a Paperwhite. It's great for reading text, but you're not going to be able to do comics on that.
That's correct.
Yeah, totally. Patrick, what is your pick this week?
My pick this week is Lord of Runes. It's a book by Dave Gross, and it's the first of the Pathfinder Tales books that's being distributed and published by Tor. Mm-hmm. So they made it a little bit bigger than the normal paperback, and they sent it to me as an ARC here recently after I talked to Dave over at SF Signal. So that is my pick this week. It's his, I think it's his fourth Pathfinder Tales book. So the fact that Pathfinder is being published now and distributed by Tor means that they are, it's like they've grown up.
Yeah.
They've got their big boy and girl pants on now.
Yeah, and that's a good one too. I have that one sitting at home. That's on the gigantic pile of books that the publisher sent me, and it's rising steadily up the list. But now that you're picking it, I'm going to have to move it higher up the pile, Patrick.
So, yes, you will.
Chris, have you ever gotten into any of the Pathfinder stuff, or any of the Dungeons and Dragons, or any of the other kind of role playing stuff?
Oh my gosh! So I was a Gary Gygax guy from way back in the million years ago days of like the early 1980s. And probably, I don't know, second edition Advanced Dungeons and Dragons to me was the first travesty, so I started way back then. And, I feel so hipster saying it like that. But the thing is, I loved it all. I really wanted to embrace Pathfinder. And I bought the series. My daughter and I got into it because she wanted to learn about D&D. And it just never really clicked with her. I mean, she liked it. We just never actually played it all that much. And then so we went back and bought the new D&D, which is kind of the old D&D, just stupider. And that clicked. And so, yes, I like Pathfinder. I didn't burn into it as deeply as everybody else. And I love that there was some good fiction made for it, though, because it helps people like my daughter, understand kind of how that milieu works and all that. So that was fun.
Well, and if you're into comic books, you might look at the Pathfinder comics, because those are pretty good.
Cool. I will give them a look. Mm-hmm. This is already one of my favorite shows ever. This is not a podcast. This is like talking about things I'm really into.
Yeah, and that's what we do every week.
Well, that's one of the reasons I wanted to get you on the show, because I think that's something that, you know, if you follow Chris on Twitter or friends with him on Facebook, you know, he does mention this stuff. But I mean, it's, I think a lot of people, because you have such a big and devoted following for the work that you do, that doesn't really have much to do with this kind of stuff. I think everything is like Chris Brogan, marketing pillar of it, you know. So I think a lot of people just are like, aren't going to necessarily want to talk to you about Dungeons and Dragons and Young Justice, you know, necessarily. So right. I figured, like, I bet Chris will enjoy talking about this stuff. But
well, I love it.
And John, it's funny because I went back to my office after this digital summit that I went to, and I was telling everybody in our marketing department, like, oh, Chris Brogan said this, and Chris Brogan said that. Oh, and you should see, it was so funny. He created this name for this marketing agency. It was hilarious. And by the time like 2 hours were done, everybody was tired of Chris Brogan. They didn't want me talking about him anymore.
Mm.
I get that a lot, by the way. I am like the Marsha of the digital marketing space.
Well, you know, I've read a couple of Chris's books. The two that really had a big impact on me was Trust Agents, which came out a few years ago, and Impact Equation, which I guess you co-wrote both of those with Julian Smith, now that I'm like kind of looking at them on Twitter. Maybe tell us a little something about those books and writing them with Julian.
Well, I think it suggests to me that you actually like Julian more than you like me. I'm totally down with that. Yeah, so Trust Agents, I got the book deal. It's basically how do you use the web to build trust, earn, you know, better reputation and that kind of a thing. And it came out in 2009. And one of the reasons that made it, you know, kind of a popular book for what it was just because not many people were talking about the web the way I was, which, you know, it wasn't gee whiz Twitter. It was more like, wow, we could really connect with people just like we're doing on this show around like-mindedness and interest and things like that. So I think, you know, it's kind of funny to talk to you about it just because it really is, you know, something that appeals to me. You know, how do we talk to people about the things we're into on the web or whatever? And that hasn't changed. And Impact Equation, Julian and I wrote that book because, well, partly because they really wanted some kind of a almost sequel to Trust Agents, and money is good. but secondly, because what I still wanted to say, what I still had to say, was all about, you know, you didn't do this the first time, so now here's what you're gonna have to do to stand out. And we basically built this little framework that, you know, made it easier for people to understand what it might take to stand out on the web. And so in all cases, what we've been trying to do, though, hasn't really changed even a little bit. All we're really trying to do is say, find the people that you want to talk to them about the stuff that you're mutually into, and then make business value out of, you know, connecting with them about the things that you're mutually into. You know, comic book nerds, movie nerds, I mean, anime, my daughter's into anime. We go to Anime Con, there's 30,000 people there. I just like want all their money. So it's like that.
Yeah. You know, those books had particularly Trust Agents, because I think it was the first book of its kind that I at least read. And when I was starting to kind of go out there and try to make a name for myself with my music at the time, you know, everything was like, buy my music, or a lot of people, or to speak to a lot of the listeners of this show, because we do often have science fiction and fantasy authors on. Unfortunately, you still see it a little bit where it's like a buy my book. My book's on Amazon, buy my book. And, you know, Trust Agents was something where I read it and was like, oh, just be a real person. And and then maybe you can build something that way. And honestly, even this podcast is sort of an outgrowth of that. Of, you know, if I did a podcast where I just talked about every song that I ever did, well, that would probably get pretty boring pretty quick. But it's, if you're, what I took from a lot of those books was just, like you said, was, be into the stuff that you're into and talk about it, and then you'll find the people that you'll kind of have a lot in common with.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's kind of nuts. I mean, I can walk into a room full of nerds and I can just say, well, this was a triumph. And you know, they'll start giggling just like you just did, right? Mm-hmm. And what's funny to me about that is that when you've got that kind of power, like when you are amidst people that know your dumb jokes, like it's so much easier not to sell to them because they're buying. You know, when I go to Anime Con, you know, it's basically my kids saying, take my dad's money. That's all Anime Con is dad, shake your wallet out upstairs. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's such a vast difference between, you know, that and when people are trying to sell to you. I, you know, that's one of my favorite things to see on the internet now. I go to Twitter sometimes, search.twitter.com, and I put in take my money to see what people are calling for. You know what I mean? And you know what's awesome about it? It's all varied. You know, it's all the thing that they're into, and I'm obviously not into what they're into, whoever they are. But every now and again, I'll find something insane, like, you know, a hoodie with Groot on it with like a funny top part so that I have this funny Groot hoodie. You know, I think that all selling should be like that. All business should be like that. Sci-fi fans don't need you to say, buy my book. They need you to say, oh, man, I am so into Terminator, but this new movie blows. But here's a cool book that would make you so happy and you don't even have to go to the movie.
Yeah, yep. It's funny you mentioned that a few years ago I opened a show for Paul and Storm, comedy nerd duo, if you're familiar with them. And it was at Nerdtacular in Salt Lake City, Utah, run by Scott Johnson, and Tom Merritt was there and all those guys. And when Paul and Storm hit the stage, there was 500 people in the audience, and their first line was, nerds, prepare to be pandered to. And when they were done and they went to their merch table where they had their USB sticks with all their music, for $50 they were selling it. But it was a lot of music. Wow. But they must have sold at least 20 or 30 of those. Like, people were just like, literally, like you said, handing their, like, emptying their wallets, being like, what else you got, Paul and Storm? And because they just, you know, they really knew who they were talking to. And it was amazing to see that. It was a good lesson to learn, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, Chris, you know, one of the things I want to ask you about, one of the ways that I communicate with you quite a bit is through your email list. And maybe you can tell our listeners a little bit of something about your email list and the value that you get out of it. And if you're running some kind of business, whether that's, you know, some sort of startup or something more sort of individual, like being an author or being a musician, what's the importance of that kind of email list?
Oh, man, I would have no business if I didn't have an email list. 70% of my revenue comes through my email list. So I'll tell you that right there and now. And, you know, there's this old proverb that's like the best time to plant a tree is 20 years ago. And the second best time is today. And if you don't have anything started, but you're thinking that you want a business, or you're thinking you want to sell something ever to another human being alive, go to, like, I don't know, MailChimp and sign up and get an account. I don't care what you use. In the process, I can tell you that what I do is I send out a weekly newsletter. Mine happens to come out on Sundays. You can pick whatever day of the week you like. There is no magic in that old silk hat. When you go there on Sunday, I basically talk to you about something kind of personal and connect it to something businessy and give you some action you might take. And sometimes I sell my things to you and sometimes I don't. But every single time, there's at least some value that's connected in the letter. And even at the worst, if there's not, I always invite people to write to me so that we can talk and you can ask me whatever kind of question you want. A lot of people squander that opportunity and they either just write back what they're drinking, which I like. I just feel like, you know, if you had a shot at talking to someone who's pretty expensive to talk to otherwise, I would probably ask them a little more than, you know, what kind of iced tea you're drinking. And then the other side is that, or they'll say, you know, promote my thing. And I'm like, sure, let me have sex with your wife. It's kind of the same thing. You know, my list is pretty important to me and I've spent a long time developing my relationship with it. And you're saying, you know, come on in my bedroom here. So no, unless your wife's really good looking and then maybe, I don't know. But, you know, I think that what most excites me about the simplicity and beauty of something like an email newsletter, especially if you're not just sending people your junk drawer, which is what a lot of people do with that opportunity, is I think that you get this great behind the scenes. I mean, we love comics. So, you know, I'm friends with Greg Pak. I would read something Greg Pak sent out because I like him. I just like what he does. Scott Snyder, I think he's an incredible artist. I would love to hear what he's thinking about. And so a lot of times really cool writers could share just a tiny bit of behind the scenes with us. And we're going to just be that much more, you know, jazzy about their product or their book or their whatever when the time comes. Why wouldn't you want that kind of relationship? It just seems like people whine and say, oh, it takes a lot of time. Well, you know what? Making money takes a lot of time. And part of that is relationship building.
Yeah, I'm always surprised that more authors don't use an email list. Some do, but even the ones that do, and I'm signed up for some of the ones that do, it's quite infrequent, and it's usually just like, my new book's out, and that's right. It, you know, and they don't really use it as an opportunity to sort of build that relationship and to, yeah, I think people, when you're trying to sell something to them, I think sort of the less selling you do, the more likely you are to sell. You know, like if it's just more like the thing that I like about Chris's email that I get every week is that it is very personal. And lots of times he isn't selling anything. He's just sharing some thoughts and he's so I look forward to Chris's email every Sunday.
Well, and that's what we've always talked about on the show, John. I mean, you and I, when we used to go to conventions, people would say that we were the social media gurus. Remember that? And it's because when it came to our social media, we weren't selling stuff. We were talking about our lives. Mm-hmm. We were being real. And that's huge. And I don't think everybody gets that. And it's across the board. It's not just social media. It's also email and your website and all that good stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
Be real.
Absolutely. So, you know, we're kind of getting close to the end of our time here. So, you know, I'll throw it out there again. Sign up for Chris's email list. Go to chrisbrogan.com, and I'm sure you can sign up for his list. It's a great email. You'll look forward to it every week. His new book coming out soon is Belong, A Framework for Embracing Community, Driving the Economy, and Building the Future. Chris, anything else that you would like to tell our listeners before we wrap it up?
No, except to say thank you for having this kind of a really cool resource out there. You know, it's always nice to feel like there's a place that you can feel like home, you know, and I think that there's a lot of, I don't know, what I like about the actual tenor and tone of this show is that I feel like I'm talking to people who are kind of genuinely into what they're into and not trying to be like fake radio talk show hosts and doing banter and stuff. It just feels like two smart, good people doing good stuff. So thanks for putting this out here.
Oh, wow.
Now I want to use my fake announcer voice.
Oh, you wrecked it, Patrick. You're totally right. Well, anyway, Chris, thank you so much for being on the show. Best of luck with everything moving forward, and have a good night.
My utter pleasure. Thanks. We'll talk soon.
All right. Thanks, Chris. Bye. And we're back. Well, hope you enjoyed that interview with Chris. I know Patrick and I really had a good time talking to him, and hopefully we can get him back on the show on down the line. Patrick, what do you have going on this week?
I knew you were going to ask me that.
Oh boy!
So as of the day that we're recording this, so everybody knows already. We've talked about this before. We record in batches. We record when we have the time to record, and then we kind of push the content out as needed. Mm-hmm. So we've been doing a lot of that. We just finished all the Pikes Peak writer stuff. Mm-hmm. So we've got that content out there, and we're recording this on the 2nd of July, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
So the 3rd of July is a Friday, and I have the entire day off.
Ooh.
Which is great. I've been feeling very burned out lately, but what's really cool is if you've been following me on social media, I have been redoing my living room.
Mm-hmm.
And decluttering my life is what I've been calling it. I've been decluttering. And point the big point is I intend to have this huge garage sale. I haven't done the garage sale yet, but I'm starting to shove stuff into my basement and into the garage that I intend to sell. Anyway, everything is all nice and clean, and I'm really liking it. And tomorrow, friends are descending upon my house to play role-playing games.
Mm.
So we're going to play Dungeons & Dragons, and, mm-hmm. and it's possible we might also play the Dresden Files. So
ooh.
that's what I've got going on. Other than that, it's all the usual stuff that's out there, John. It's Kirkus. I do my graphic novel things at Kirkus. I almost blogged at ATFMB, and then it was a close, and then I didn't. So, but who knows? By the time you hear this, I might change my mind and blog something there. And then, of course, the SF Signal podcast, where John DiNardo is pressuring me. He's putting peer pressure on me because he wants another panel.
Have you not had a panel in a while?
I haven't done a panel in a while.
Mm-hmm.
I tell you what, and maybe this will be the blog post that I write. I've been trying to articulate how I feel, and I'm not always good at that.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like a kid stuck between two parents in a ridiculously bitter divorce.
In regards to doing a panel?
No, in regards to just the science fiction community as a whole.
Oh, okay. I gotcha.
And so John's like, do a panel, you'll feel better. You always feel better when you hang out with everybody and you just feel better and you get into it and you have more fun. And he's not wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And so I probably just need to do it. But that's really how I feel right now. It's like I feel like the kid, the child that's being just ripped apart by this horrible divorce.
It's been pretty negative lately. There's been, yeah. I mean, I don't want to get into it because we have our politics thing, but because, you know, I have thoughts about it, but I kind of feel similarly. Like, it's just like, can we just enjoy the books and like not get, you know?
Well, and I'm going to Worldcon, and I'm taking with me two people who have never been to Worldcon before. And I feel it's my responsibility to make them have the greatest WorldCon experience possible.
Yeah, but that's going to be hard.
It's going to be really hard at this WorldCon.
Yeah.
There's going to be so much divisiveness.
There's going to be a lot of negativity. Yeah. There's going to be, unfortunately.
And we were talking a little bit about role-playing games, John. I don't know if you're familiar with this. I just did an interview with Susan J. Morris. And Susan worked as an editor for many, many years for Wizards of the Coast. She's now like a freelance editor for them. She still does some stuff for them. She does some stuff for other people. She created Dungeons & Dragons for kids.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah.
And so we talked with Chris about the like the beginner's box for the new Dungeons & Dragons. It's just like the red box for the old one for people who remember that. And there's Pathfinder has the beginner's box. So that's the beginner's box. And you can it will set you up with the rules and how to play the game. But even that for some, like it can be a little overwhelming for kids. Mm-hmm. So she created Dungeons & Dragons for kids, which still introduces them to the rules, but does it in a completely different way and just kind of like takes them immediately into battle. So they don't have to worry about role-playing yet. And then the role-playing comes later. So there's like modules for it that break down each aspect of role-playing.
Mm-hmm.
So I just wanted to throw that out there. I should have picked it. It should have been my pick.
Well, that sounds like a good after the fact pick. Mm-hmm. Double picks, everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. Well, yeah, for me this week, I actually finished a new piece, so I should probably just put that up online, but I have another completed instrumental and I'm starting. It's the summer now, so I'm able to put a little more time into music right now. So not that much because I'm pretty busy with some teaching and my son's chauffeur
Didn't you post a video?
I did. That's the new piece, but I didn't actually put the audio up. I just put a video of, I figured out how I should do a screen capture after the fact because I did my phone of like my laptop, which I thought would be sort of funny anyway. But then I'm like, I bet you could do a screen capture, and you can. So I'm going to do that next time.
I watched that video, John, and I was looking at the screen and I thought, John, you're so pretty.
I'm not in the video at all. You don't see me.
No, it's just, it's.
Oh, that I'm so stupid that I did it with my phone. Is that what you're saying? Is that your implication? I'm too good looking to think about these kinds of things. But anyway, so I'm very excited about a lot of the instrumental music. It's fitting. It's just a nice balance in my life. I work on it a set amount each day, and seems like if I work on it for that set amount each day, I'll have a new piece every 6 weeks or so, which I used to do more than that, but like, I'll take that. I'll take a new piece every 6 weeks if I just, you know, work on it that little bit every day. So it's really working out nicely, and I'm really happy with the pieces. And when I get like 10 of them together, I'll put them out as an album. That's sort of the plan, but I have no rush to do it. So pretty happy with that. So there you go. You can follow me on Twitter at John Anilio. All right, everyone, have a great week, and we will see you next time.
on, Smoke.
I'd like to say thank you on behalf of the group and ourselves, and I hope we pass the audition.
You're still here? It's over. Go home. Go.
Would you like a chili, baby?